everyone, and thanks for joining us on Lit Radio podcast. I'm Thea, and today I'm joined by Lucas Michel, Dr. Herb Noot, and Guido Bosbach. We will talk about their book, Unmanaged: Overcoming Muddled and Disordered Leadership Through Mastery in Management. Lucas is the owner of Management Insights AG. Over the course of his 40-year career, he has worked with executive teams around the world, focusing on management and agility. Herb is a professor of business administration at Polk State College. He earned a Doctor of Management in Organizational Leadership from the University of Phoenix College of Doctoral Studies. Guido is an organizational consultant, thought leader, and pioneer for future-oriented companies. He has received multiple awards for his consulting work, including LinkedIn Top Voice and Influencer. Unmanaged presents 9 attributes of better management, including human, holistic, systemic, and interactive, to create management as a competitive advantage. Hi, Lucas, Herb, and Guido. It's a great pleasure to have you with us on a Lit Radio podcast. I'm very excited to speak with you about your book, Unmanaged. But before we do that, I want to ask you to tell me a little bit about your backgrounds and how you got together to write this book. Lucas, we can begin with you.
It actually goes back many years. We know each other, I don't know, for 10, 15 years at least. And for me, it all started with the first book, that's The Performance Triangle. That's 12 years since. That's when I started working with Herb Noot on the research. And all of us are actually using our global executive survey and work with what we call these days organization twins with clients. So Herb is more on the research side, and Guido supports the operation, but also works on the education side for to certify our partners. So that's kind of how we are connected.
And for me, my original research was on organizational cultures and how the culture drives performance in organizations. And Lucas and I actually met almost 15 years ago now on LinkedIn, I believe, on a thing about that. And all of my research is really focused on not on theory, but on practice. I want to be able to go in and go to a CEO and say, based on our research, here are things you can do to improve your organization. So that's how we've got together and developed the concept organizational twins and built on the performance triangle.
Yeah, and I worked in telecommunications for a long time, and then I more and more realized that how leadership was done there was not really driving my performance and didn't help for me to contribute my ideas. So that's why I stepped out. I tried to understand how management can be done better. And this is why actually I met Lucas in some discussions we had, I guess, on LinkedIn as well. And well, his ideas and his approach that convinced me really 100%. So I was happy to join his network. And so we started to work together.
Mm-hmm. And I will add that I spent 30 years in business before going back to school to earn a doctorate. So my thing has always been, give me practical solutions to real problems as opposed mm-hmm. to theory.
Absolutely. Great. Fantastic. And obviously, you all have your very impressive backgrounds, and that's all gathered together in your book, Unmanaged. So why did you decide to write it?
To some extent, it was my frustration with management. It goes almost 40 years ago when I studied management, and I was excited about all of it here. But when I look at what's being done today, it's much of the same. So to some extent, I feel it hasn't really evolved. And in companies, I see no difference as compared to 20, 30 years ago when it comes to management. So I felt like this is something that is in bad need for innovation. And there's some very practical stuff that I started observing and I started getting very sensitive towards. For example, if you wait in line at a grocery store, okay, you can ask yourself, why do we have to wait in line, and why are desks next to it kind of not served here? The same thing in airports or when we enter a specific country, you have two jumbo jets coming in, filled with people, and there is one out of 20 desks that are being served in order to get the passes checked and stuff like that. So that's all what I call management from the very bad side. But then also, I'm observing local politics. It's like a hospital that is broke. It's broke because it has been managed poorly. It's as simple as that. It's an airport project or redoing an airport where it was proposed for 20 million Swiss francs, and now it ends up being 120 million Swiss francs. Politicians are the worst managers. I mean, they have never learned it. They have no clue what this is all about. So this is kind of my personal frustration. You see, I'm getting really into it because I feel like these are all instances of unmanaged companies, organizations, events. So that was my motivation. I said, we have to do something about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
You?
Well, for me, it was about, we have multiple books. I have my books, Lucas's, and we've done others together. And we continue to see examples of organizations that are being poorly managed or not managed at all. And so for me, the motivation is let's start bringing these things together. The more often we can bring these concepts together and get them out there, the more effect we can have on influencing emerging managers, people that are still in college today.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more with what Lucas and Herb just said. Yeah, and what frustrates me or frustrated me most was seeing all those sandwich leaders, in the position where they can't change anything, but they have to do everything at the same time. So no matter how motivated they are, how talented they are, they are held back by poor management very often. So and up to a state where it really where they have to pay with their personal health on that. And I mean, that should not be the case. So I was very thrilled when Lucas approached me and asked if I would contribute to that book Unmanaged, because that really brings it to the point.
Yeah, fascinating. And well, because this is a book podcast, and before we talk more about your book, I would like to ask you about the writing process. Because I know, well, Lucas, you've published a lot of books with us, Herb, but I know you've also published some previous books. But what was it like for you three to work together on this book?
It was actually quite simple. I wrote the first draft, sent it to Herb, and then Herb said, I will go through it. So he went through it through chapter, added his insights, added research to it. And then Guido came and added what we call practical hints to every part of the book, because we said we now have the findings, we have some theory that matches it. We need now practical hints that help people to actually do something different here. So that's essentially what Guido then added to it. That's how it came together. So
Yeah,
it
my
wasn't
role.
planned that way, it just happened that way.
Well, my role, this is Lucas and I have worked together on a number of projects, and he's brilliant, and so is Guido, okay? And they write this stuff. They're so smart and into it, and they're thinking in German and trying to write in English, okay? So my role is to take those thoughts, those brilliance, and convert that into a language that normal people can understand. And that's my role in our group.
Yeah, I mean, coming from the more practical side of it, that there are countless of examples of poor management. So on the other hand, there are really plenty of good approaches that can help there. And yeah, that, as Lucas said, that was my role to bring all that together. and to really present the range of possibilities, of opportunities you have as an organization to change how you collaborate.
Yeah, it seems like you've got a really good combination of skills that you put together on the book, which worked quite well. And now let's move on to the book and its content and what people can expect to read in it. But first of all, could you tell me what's so wrong with management today?
It's multiple things. First of all, I believe that management, the science of it, has not really kept up with time. The one example is that I always talk about is we put clients, customers at the center of our attention, but then at the same time, operations research calculates customer journey. So they calculate, how much time can we have them wait until they actually leave? And those are two things that are total opposites. I think the mental attitude to even do those calculations is the wrong thing here, if we talk about putting customer in the center here. So I think it has to do with a change of mental attitude that needs to happen. Then the second thing is, we call it muddling through. It's many companies are quite successful. They operate since many, many years, and they have never taken care about management, and it still works. This is amazing. This is amazing. And the reason is very simple. It's like management is like taste. You can only notice it when it actually doesn't work. So it's the failures that make ourselves aware of what management all about is, because we assume that things just operate and it just works here. And those are the things that are essentially what I believe is wrong today with management. So there are a couple of things we can do. We can start introducing more innovation into management, better ways of doing things. We can make people aware that management is important here. And I mean, that's part of what we are doing when we are writing about things here. So that's essentially the motivation for writing the book.
Well, from my perspective, what's wrong with management today? When I look, you can see a whole raft of books on management over my shoulder here. All of the ideas were written in the last century, the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and that's how we're teaching people in MBA courses, which I teach at multiple universities, okay? And the world has changed dramatically since 1975. Okay, and so what's wrong with management is that we're teaching people the way things worked 50, 60 years ago, and the world is very different. Okay, when you look at NVIDIA and these companies today that are so successful, they're managed totally different from the way they were 50 years ago.
Yeah, and that's actually what I see as well. They have that complex chaos that is in these organizations. Because they are managed like 50 years ago, and actually, there's no one taking the time to reflect on why that is the case. And if you also always have to constantly juggle new balls, you actually don't have the time to do so. But that's the great mistake, or the big problem. In order to create a good working organizations, you have to take that time, or you have to have good leaders or good teachers that help you to overcome all that what you're struggling with.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is very interesting. Obviously, if our education is like 50 years old, then obviously we're not teaching people what they need to know today. Is that the reason for so many companies and organizations today to be unmanaged?
Today, everybody talks about leadership. Okay, that's the sexy thing around. You can talk about, hundreds of attributes leaders should have, and so on. That's kind of the center of attention of conferences. I just The season is just almost over. You know, there was a big management conference in Portugal, in Lisbon. There was the celebrations in London, the Thinkers 50 or what this is called. This is Drucker Forum here. It's all management conferences, but the content, what is being talked about, is leadership here. So management is regarded as inferior, as not so important. And I would say, there is no real leadership without having a solid management background here. So the fix in my mind is very simple. You know, if you have leaders that don't perform, just exchange them. It's a waste of time to kind of help leaders to become better leaders here. What you can do is you can fix management in companies. The way organizations are being run, that's something that can be addressed, but that's not a quick fix. That is work, and that's work, you know, everyday work to improve things here. So, I think that dilemma is a bit something that really makes it very hard for companies. If I go to those conferences, then it works the same way. We tend not to tell people anymore what they should be doing. You know, we talk about self-responsibility in companies here, but when you go to those conferences, you're being told as a leader what you should be doing. That's actually very strange. And we are doing exactly the opposite. That's not what we are doing with our book. We provide thoughts, we provide insights, we provide a diagnostic tool in order for leaders to learn, create their own awareness. We trust them that they can do it at their own, and we offer choice. So this is a very different way of learning here. And that's kind of how we go about this question about, why are things wrong? Things are wrong because managers just copy stuff rather than to think about what is really needed in the organization and how can we build better organizations.
I would say that the reason, getting back to the reason, traces back to MBA schools. Okay. These guys come out, they've all been taught from the same textbooks, the same concepts by Professor so and so, who's supposed to be an expert. So then now they all get in, they've all had the same training, they've all been conditioned the same way. They start managing companies, and everything looks totally new. Hey, we're all doing what Professor so-and-so said to do, it must be right. Okay. And so in my mind, it's like kind of like the boiled frog analogy. Okay. Everything, they're all swimming around in the same bucket of hot water, and they don't realize that things are not going the way they could. That's my view.
Actually, they don't know how to change it. I mean,
Right.
as they are taught differently, so to speak, they actually don't know where to put the levers on and to how to change it. Yeah, and they don't have the time, they don't have the experience, they don't have the knowledge, and it's on the other side, as Lucas said, it's quite difficult to change this, the situation in the organization. And it takes time. But even worse, if you don't have the necessary insights. And that's what we provide, yeah, to have a clear view on your own organization, not on any kind, whatever organization. So very specific on what you're doing and to change that with the best levers you have.
Yeah.
And I think Guido said something important. It's they don't have alternatives. And what we're trying to do is throw out, here are alternatives. Here are some things you could consider maybe applying in your organization. When I work with my students, okay, I get that most of the time. Oh, I never thought about that. This is the first time we've ever heard about this. Okay. And so that's what we're trying to do is offer alternatives.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we've discussed, what's wrong with management today, what might be the reasons behind it. But on a more positive note, what does better management look like?
Good question.
In my mind, good management is when you don't notice it. When it actually works like a clock, you know, it just operates here. Then I think it works in line with the nine principles that we outlined in our book. I would say it's quite simple, but it's not easy to get there, or it's not easy to do. So.
Right. I would say that I agree with Guido. It involves entire change of mindset. Okay. In today's world, now in the last century, managers say, this is what you're going to do, this is how you're going to do it. And then we used metrics as a bludgeon to get people to do what we wanted them to do. In today's world, managers have to, and leaders have to look at treat people as self-responsible. It's one of the words we use in our books, okay? People want to do a good job. They want to do the right thing. You have to create a good manager creates an environment where they do get allows them to do these things, okay? And instead of telling people this is what you do and how to do it, they should be coming to you and saying, "Hey, I have an idea of a way to do something more effectively or more efficiently." Okay, so in my mind, that's what better management looks like. And to Lucas's point, you don't even know it exists. You create the environment that allows people to manage themselves.
But in order to create that environment, you have to have a kind of a holistic view on what you're doing. Yeah, I mean, you have to get w away from a linear control, but allow more complexity. Yeah, you have to understand that systemic thinking, and in order to change the things, and this is part of what we bring in. Yeah, that's the new ideas we have, the insights, and with with the twins, with the organizational twins, you get more meat to it. Yeah, you get a clear view on how your organization fails or succeeds in doing so, and by that you learn how good management is. And as Lucas said, if you don't realize that there is management, then it's good management, because then you can really work on yourself, with the ideas you have.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You recognize good management by not noticing it. But I think a question that probably a lot of people might be wondering about is whether anyone can be a good manager.
Herb, why don't you go first
Want
on
me to
this
go
one
first on this one?
here?
All right. I would say most people have the abilities to become good managers. First of all, it involves a change of mindset to fit the manager in our view, okay? Because you have to believe that people are self-responsible and they want to do the right thing, okay? Second thing is you have to also be willing to accept responsibility and to let people make mistakes. And I find with my students, many people they really shy away from that. So I tell my students, if you're not willing to make mistakes, allow your people to make mistakes, and take responsibility if something goes wrong, then you probably don't want to be in a management position in the model that we have. So it goes back to personality, if that makes sense.
Yeah, as Herb said, it's a yes and a no. Yeah, some people will not be able to learn how to do it because they don't get the mindset. Yeah, you have to be open to change your behavior, and you have to be open to reflect your mindset and reflect your impact you have on the organization. If you are willing to do so, it's easy to change. Yeah, because then you've already taken the first step. But if you're not taking that first step, you'll never go there. You'll never
Right.
get there.
And I tell my students there's nothing wrong, with being a good individual contributor. Okay. We need people like that. Okay. But if you don't have the right psychology, or I'm not sure the right term, then you probably need to just say, I'm really shooting for that corner office, with the stock options is probably not a good fit for you.
Interesting. Yeah, it's all about knowing yourself, and whether you would be willing to take that responsibility. Great.
Exactly.
And so we've mentioned during our discussion that in the book you've got tools that managers can use to really assess their organization. So they're not general tools, but they actually help them assess their specific organization and situation. But I think for many people who are working in a company, it's very difficult to judge how their company is doing, just because, well, they do all of that work and they hope they're doing their best work. So sometimes it's very difficult to criticize yourself and so the work that you've done. So how can leaders make sure that they truly judge how well their companies are doing and are being managed?
If you have an unmanaged situation, then you certainly know something is wrong. And most of the time, I would argue it's management that is wrong somewhere. Okay. So, but that's after the fact here. The issue is that we should actually not get there into unmanaged situations here. That's why we developed what we call the Global Executive Survey, which is a survey that that executives can use in order to spot areas that are likely to get out of hand or are in trouble already here. And it's done in such a way that this information then feeds what we call organization twins. And with those twins, organization can actually have a conversation about what management is all about. That's a tool to talk about management here. So it's like, imagine you run a car, you drive a car, and you don't have a speedometer. You know, some people will completely misinterpret the speed that they're actually going at. But in management, it's good to have that kind, or even driving a car, it's important to have that speedometer that tells you you're going too fast or you're going too slow here. So that's essentially what we suggest companies are doing.
Well, in my view, if I when I was managing companies and things, the key thing is you need a continuous flow of ideas, suggestions from employees. We all know who knows the most about whatever task is being done. It's the person actually doing it. So if you have a continuous flow of ideas and suggestions, okay, not a suggestion box, that never works, okay? Continuous flow. What that does is allows you to be continuously improving, becoming more efficient. Maybe an idea on a product to make it a little bit better or offer another feature. If when that continuous flow stops, in my mind, that's when you have poor management. So I think it's the continuous flow of ideas and creativity is what says now you have good management.
Yeah, and with these ideas you get new perspectives, and that's what also the twin delivers. Yeah, it's kind of augmented, expanded perspective. Yeah, you get to have a new view, a different view on your organization, that allows you to dig deeper and understand more of how you're doing things and how you collaborate and how relationships are and all that stuff. So, and how your culture is and how your performance could be improved and everything. Something you will not get if you just keep on working on how you are like you ever worked before. So, and yeah, that's what really is the difference then.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lucas, you mentioned the term organizational twins a few times during this discussion, and that's also something you cover in the book. And I know Lucas and Harpit was also covered in your previous book. So, for our listeners who are not familiar with that term, could you explain what that is and how can it be helpful to managers?
It's a term that I actually coined here. It didn't exist before we actually started using it here. So, and some would say, well, it's a digital twin. Think of it as a mirror. That's the most simple image I can use. A mirror of an organization and add digital to it. So we are creating a digital mirror of a company. It's the best kind of photo that you can have of a company that you can talk about. And it's easier for managers to talk about the photo than to talk about the organization, because the organization is related to them. When they talk about a photo, it's like the photo and it's not them. So that makes conversations easy here. But essentially saying we are using all the data we can have from your global executive survey into this twin, which then shows the organization how it actually is.
And what the Twins tool does, it digs into an organization. It and we call them it gives you visibility or awareness. We call unseen and rarely discussed elements within your organization. For example, one of the elements is under the people part is called trust. Okay, what's the level of trust within your organization? And when I talk to my students, it's very simple. They understand it. If you don't trust me, you're not going to share what you know. And so if your level of trust is low, you've immediately cut off the flow of ideas and creativity. Okay. Another one that we have in there is a focus of attention. What do we teach in business school? If you have a problem, what do? You make a rule, you change a process. And through time, we've seen these pile on top of each other. No one ever goes back and says, oh, this, we did this 15 years ago, but it's no longer needed. And so these things just pile up, okay? And through time, you distract people. They're not able to actually do their jobs efficiently. And so the twin then gives you this visibility and says, hey, your people are being distracted, which initiates a question, why? And then in the discussion that comes out of that, hopefully they'll say, well, we have these other three procedures that really aren't adding any value. Let's get rid of them. Okay. So we have all these different elements within there that brings the, you know, gets the to the managers, the leaders, the executive leaders' attention so they can do something about it.
Yeah, and it shows the conflicts and problems you have inside the organization. It may be on conversations you don't have or have, but that should be different. You get very much of detail of the details of what you're doing, not knowing that you're doing, and not knowing why you're doing it. And that's very helpful to get better understanding, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. And then the last chapter in the book Unmanaged is titled Mastery in Management, which sounds like the absolute utopia. But as a conclusion to this conversation, could you tell us what's needed to achieve that mastery?
For me, it's a change in mindset from accepting to be told what to do to using information to create awareness. Okay, if managers, leaders start having data, they can make their own judgment about what's good, what's bad. They can start improvements. They have choices, and again, if they have trust in themselves, they will get these things fixed here. So for me, the absolute clue in order to get to mastery is having the data, understanding how far you are running on the highway.
And I would agree 100% with that. In addition, I would say not only having trust in yourself, but with all the people who work for you in your organization, you have to have that trust. And it's a change in mindset. You have to be able to look at yourself objectively. You know, it's very, very difficult for any manager to sit there and say, I'm not as good as I think I am. And here are some things that I need to do. So I think it's that change in mindset. And I believe this goes all the way back to MBA schools, the conditioning that we put in business schools that convinces people that, you know, they're really that good. And here's how I do it. I have to tell people what to do and how to do it. That's my thought.
Yeah, for me, mastery management starts with understanding that you're not on top of everything, and that you're open to realize that unmanaged is really the case in your organization, maybe, but mostly it is, and yeah, to overcome it, and yeah. Read the book.
We know that leaders always overestimate their own capabilities, but also those of their organizations. That's their job to do that. Okay. But good leaders have a high degree of awareness, knowing that they are overestimating. And they know that once they create awareness in a company, that things look different as compared to what they actually see here. And
Yeah, he's right. And
that's what we are working towards. Yeah.
they overestimate their own knowledge or experience and tend to underestimate those of people below them. And so they make decisions with flawed without even thinking about the data, the information. It might be flawed, but in their own superiority, they go ahead with the decision anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. But that I think that's a great note to end on. And of course, I encourage our listeners to grab a copy of your book and manage so they can read more of your insights and also access your tools. But thank you very much for your time today, Lucas Herbert Guido. It was a pleasure to speak with you. I really, really enjoyed this conversation.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having the chance to do so. Yep.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Make sure you keep an eye on our social media at Lit Publishing on LinkedIn, X, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook for more information about new books and podcasts with thought leaders. See you next time on Lit Radio Podcast.